Hey everybody, welcome to the Insight Nature versus Nurture podcast, brought to you today by Simply for Life. In this topic is going to be focused on a research article that was published regarding our evolution. Are we evolving ourselves to become more obese? Is this obesity epidemic a symptom of evolution? And if we ate what we ate 20 years ago, would it have the same effect on us? Okay, this and a few other topics we're going to be discussing on this episode. Thanks for tuning in. All right, let's get started. I received I was tagged in a post on Facebook regarding an article from the Clinical Journal of Obesity. And what this article essentially, I'm going to summarize it, try to encapsulate it, is if we ate today what we ate 20 years ago, we would be more likely to store it as fat than we would being the same person of the same age eating the same food 20 years ago. So really what this study implies, and now, no matter how credible the institution and where the study takes place, you have to understand the format of a study and how flexible it can be. Studies are just studies. They just kind of indicate plausible directions. We tend to put a lot more science into studies, a lot more faith into studies, looking at them as a resource as opposed to just more or less a compass. A study could show anything, essentially, if you're looking for particulars. I remember once there was a study posted regarding pool drownings and the releases of Kevin Bacon movies. How there was a study that showed a link between the releases of movies starring Kevin Bacon and the increase in pool drownings. So, you can, if you have the right data and if you filter through enough information, you can pretty much find any causation or link to anything. So studies, again, what they do is, what I love to do actually is, it raises the potential, right? It raises questions. It gets you thinking, gets you delving into these things a little bit closer. So with this study, what they're implying is that, we're evolving, and as we evolve, our propensity to gain weight and become fat is increasing. So if we ate the same food as we did 20 years ago, we effectively would gain more weight from it than ourselves 20 years ago. And I don't know. Again, you can't turn back the hands of time. That is a totally, hypothetical situation. There's no way of really determining that. They're just kind of, again, like a study, they're just throwing stuff out there, shit against the wall, and see if it sticks. But what it does is it gives us the opportunity to raise that question, is why are we more obese today than we were 20 years ago? Why is it every year that the obesity rate starts to go up? And for those of you that follow me, those of you that have heard previous podcasts, I'm a firm believer that, there is a certain onus to the food. Our food is changing, the way it's raised, the way it's manufactured, or the fact that it's manufactured. The modernization and the industrialization of our food definitely has an impact on our body's ability to metabolize it. But you have these, brilliant strokes of genius, even in regards to the World Health the WHO, the World Health Organization, classifying obesity as malnutrition. So what this does is it kind of changes the way that we think and the bias that we approach obesity with. Obesity is malnutrition. So we become overweight purely from the fact that our bodies aren't absorbing the nutrients from the food. So it becomes a quantity versus quality, a calorie versus nutrient issue. And what that boils down to, in my opinion, is really just the use of our food. I strongly believe after decades of this, being a nutritionist, working in the fitness and nutrition and lifestyle industry, I see a direct disconnect between our application of our food based on what our bodies need in order to properly evolve to the environment, okay? Evolution is something that takes place. It's something that we do unconsciously, but we can make conscious influence on that. As seen through epigenetics, we can turn on and off certain genes. We can, you know, we can basically determine expression, and that's the whole podcast why it focuses on nature versus nurture. You know, nature provides us with so much, but where we take that depends on a lot to do with our environment and how we perceive our environment and therefore how we adapt to it, all right? So, you know, I give you a hammer and there's multiple ways you can use a hammer, and that's the nurture part of it is, you know, nature gives us what we have, and what nurture does is the environment and the influences, the stimuli, it determines how we use what we've been given, whether we use it for good or evil. You know what I mean? That's the old conundrum that you see with superpowers. Life itself is a superpower, and our ability to adapt is a superpower. And a lot of the times we're sitting dormant with these things and not activating. So anyway, so Dennis had sent me this, and he thought I'd have something to say about it, and of course I do, and I'm putting it into this podcast. The issue today, I believe, is not so much a genetic thing. Maybe the side effect, the symptom of it, is the genetic predisposition to be able to gain more weight because of our evolving and changing and abused and even a lot of cases dilapidated microbiome and our organisms and things changing in our gut, and which tends to favor metabolic pathways that store more body fat. But again, I go back to the analogy of the alcoholic. You know, if you have alcoholism in your family and you're aware of that alcoholism, if you live your life accordingly, then the probability of you becoming alcoholic decreases. And if the probability decreases and you don't become an alcoholic, then when you procreate, the probability of that next generation being alcoholic goes down as well, technically, right? Again, that's where the dominant gene and this expression and all of this stuff in regards to passing genes on to the next generation. So the same goes for obesity. I think obesity is of a higher probability because of the fact that this generation is obese and the genetic predisposition and the precursors are being passed on. Whereas if adults right now of the age of procreation, you know, within your 20s to 40s, if we prioritized and understood the correlation of nutrition and our environment, then you'd see less obesity, and therefore I think it's more of a behavior issue where the behaviors of the children that are being born aren't mimicking the behaviors of obese parents and obese mentors, okay? Again, you know, we tend to fall back on that whole genetic predisposition. You know, if you have heart disease in your family, you know what? Everybody has heart disease in their family these days. So how come if the numbers increase, then the numbers can decrease in the same fashion, right? If my great-grandfather never had heart disease, or died of heart disease, and my grandfather never died of heart disease, and my father never died of heart disease, then my potential for heart disease goes down, correct? But not necessarily, because of the fact that if I eat like shit, and I don't exercise, and I smoke, and I do all those things, the probability of me activating that and creating heart disease from the lifestyle is significant. And so if I develop heart disease because of my lifestyle and my inability to adapt to the environment, when my son goes in and he's asked that question by the physician, you know, does anybody in your family, your immediate family, have heart disease? He can say yes. So therefore his potentiality for heart disease goes up, right? His risk factors automatically, statistically. And to me, that can work the opposite way as well. All right. So we can essentially evolve out of this propensity for heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, and all these things, if we start looking at it from a positive angle, if we change our perspective, right, and start thinking in terms of prevention. So if you're looking at the actual statistics, never mind whether or not your family has it, because I hear that all the time here at Simply for Life and even online with Insight, is, you know, my dad, my mom, this, that. And I'm like, you know what, honestly, it doesn't matter. There's a reason why I don't ask you that, is because it really doesn't matter. The statistics now is, you know, 1 in 2 men for heart disease, 1 in 3 for women, you know, cancer, diabetes, children born after the year 2000, you're looking at a potential 1 in 3 chance. So the numbers, those statistics in terms of, you know, the our demographic, we should be looking at more so than your family history. The risk factors are there, and those bigger risk factors in regards to our atmosphere, where we live, those types of things, the bigger picture, I think those are more accurate because of the fact that you're getting multiple factors of influence as opposed to just your family. Because there's very few of us these days that eat at home all the time. You know, the kids go to school, they eat what's at school, they, you know, they're effectively eating maybe 1 or 1.5. They might have a half-assed breakfast before they leave. So the parents and the habits at home have a lesser influence, but still, the behaviors at home, I think, have the biggest influence. And we tend to focus a little too much on school and educating as opposed to influence from an animalistic style where it's behavioral, where the parents exhibit and promote behaviors that the children pick up on because of the, that's how animals learn, right? Instead of teaching and regurgitating information and talking, I feel that more of us out there need to adopt this behavior and show our children how it's done so that they can pick up on these behavioral cues. It's more of a societal thing than I feel it is a genetic thing, okay? Because if that were the case, it would happen to other demographics as well, other populations, and that's just not the way it is. There's other populations out there that are increasing their health, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that their sociological behavior is very different. They, you know, they're not hell-bent on nutritional sciences. They're focused more on interaction, social behavior. They moderate things. They don't classify things as good or bad. You know, they're more intuitive when it comes to their behaviors. And here we're very science and study-driven. We're looking for answers instead of asking questions. And we do what we're told. You know, eat your meals at 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 5 o'clock, and have your snack in between, and then, oh no, don't snack in between your meals, and oh wait, you know, so we're constantly chasing our tails, and we're chasing these trends, and what this is doing is it's causing a lot of stress, and stress on the body forces genetic adaptation, but disfavorable genetic adaptation. It's like being stressed for a meeting typically means that you are going to a meeting that you're not prepared for, and the probability of you fucking up or messing up, pardon the language, in the meeting is much higher versus someone who shows up to the meeting prepared and you know, knocking the meeting out of the park and, you know, being and feeling very proud of yourself and evolving and growing one more step as a person. I find that that's really the underlying issue here. Instead of blaming genetics and blaming evolution and really kind of just, you know, curling up into a ball and saying, well, this is just the way it's going to be and it's the environment that's changing us, so we need to change the environment. I think that in itself is overwhelming and it's leading us down a path of frustration, anxiety, depression, because you can't change the environment. You can only change your perception of the environment. And when your perception of the environment changes, and that's the truth that's been shown through history, through time, that you need to have a different perception of the world around you because you're the one, you're the looker, right? You're the observer, you're the one that's actually, determining what's happening based on your reaction to what happened. And I think that we're walking through, in our culture, North American culture, we're walking through with a lot of misguided information, a lot of statistical data, studies, and things like this that are from hermetically sealed environments, and a lot of it is biased, and it's predicated on a particular desired outcome versus just looking at the general health of the population and what's best for the overall, as opposed to what's best for the person designing and publishing the study. So that's basically what I wanted to get out there today, is you are not predestined to be fat, okay? It's not something that you're born into. Your potentiality is always there. Whether or not you're born thin and healthy, you can squander that, you can piss that away. I've seen that so many times as well. And I've seen people, myself, as an example to that, born into this life, with issues like that, being obese, having, the predisposition to store body fat, and the behaviors and the sociological, economical factors that all contribute to that. But then just using that as a motivating tool to not be like that. So here I am today, of a totally different stature, and having children at a point in my life where I wasn't expressing that. You know what I mean? So the probability of my children now being that, I feel, in terms of the research I've done when it comes to epigenetics, the probability of my kids becoming overweight and obese because of my behaviors, but also too because of my body composition and the physical structure that I had during conception of both parents, I think helps to decrease the probability of that happening. Okay, so there's many factors here. There's epidemiological factors. There's genetic factors, epigenetic factors that all come into play. So to really kind of lay the blame on one, I feel is unfair. My father was a police officer for many years, and he always would say to me, Neil, there's always three sides to every story. There's yours, there's mine, and then there's the truth. And with these podcasts and having these types of discussions and putting this information out there, it's essentially what I'm looking to do, is just raise points and get people to think a little bit more for themselves, and to find that middle ground, that in between someone else's truth and your truth and the actual truth, right? Or between the two truths, right? There's typically that's where your answer is, and it's something that you need to discover, as I've said before in previous podcasts. So, I guess that's what I wanted to focus on today, is you're not predestined to be fat. It's a cultural thing, more so than I find it's a genetic thing. And if we can change our behaviors and we can become more aware of what our bodies need in order to deal with this ever-evolving climate that we're in, I feel that the body's going to make more favorable changes as opposed to changes that are more of a detriment to our health. We can decrease the probability of chronic illness the same way as we've increased it. It's the same mechanism. We just have to kind of flip the coin, and by instilling good behaviors and, good daily behaviors, both lifestyle and nutritionally, we can gradually start to express more health and pass that gene expression on to our generations. And we could pass the behavioral expression as well. Like, these from an animalistic standpoint, our children are watching us. They don't listen, they watch. So if they see our behavioral changes, and they acknowledge the physiological changes, and they can connect to the changes in energy, having more more positivity, having more energy than the day can take from you. All of these things are very attractive, and on an unconscious level, and it tends to validate our behaviors to the generations that are emulating our behavior. Okay, Anyway, thanks again for tuning in, everybody. I'll be sending another podcast out soon. Again, I'm driven by topics. So if there's anything that you feel like you'd like to talk to me or you'd like to hear me talk about, discuss, please do send them my way. And like Dennis had sent this in, I'm more than willing to jump on and throw my hat in the ring. All right. Thanks.